Well, that was a beautiful image, watching that space shuttle Atlantis land for the final time at the Kennedy Space Center in Florida. Dr. Neil deGrasse Tyson, astrophysicist, director of the Hayden Planetarium at the American Museum of Natural History, host of Star Talk Radio. Doc, good morning.
Yeah, great to be back on your show. I feel like a regular now. I've been on several times.
Well, you are. But my first question, do you remember where you were when that Columbia launched the very first time in 1981? I remember where I was.
Yes, of course. Yes.
And do you remember when it landed the first time?
Yes.
There was that scary moment when the front wheel sort of jerked up there?
That's right, but that's not what I remember most. I remember Bob Crippen coming out, and it looked like he, like, kicked the tires or something. It was some sort of act, some gesture that said, you know, attaboy, you know, the vehicle did it. It did something that no vehicle had ever done before, which was come back from space and land like an airplane.
And it was a vehicle. It was an accessible vehicle that everyone could relate to. Even President Obama, it seems to me, remembers where he was when the first 81 shuttle mission happened. Listen.
When I was growing up, NASA inspired the world with achievements that we're still proud of. And today we have an administration that sets ambitious goals for NASA without giving NASA the support it needs to reach them. That's why I'm going to close the gap, ensure that our space program doesn't suffer.
That's Senator Barack Obama as a presidential nominee describing his aspirations for NASA. What do you think those aspirations should be now that the shuttle is in the parking lot for the last time?
The real problem is what they should have been. You don't say, all right, the shuttle's done. Now let's think if we can dream up a new kind of launch vehicle that will get us to Earth orbit and beyond. Then that puts this huge gap between the end of one program and the beginning of another. Meanwhile, you're laying off tens of thousands of people in the major centers that were responsible for ensuring that we have access to orbit. So the problem here was not the rhetoric. You know, he always gives a good speech, and he always says the right things. I've heard his speech to go back to space as president, where he describes the need to go to Mars. But when is that? Oh, 20,
right.
30-something, and he's long out of office by then. He's on a beach somewhere. And I don't know what it means for a president to commit to a program that's to be fulfilled by a president to be named later.
Right. Well, let's talk about, there's the science and the sort of culture of the space program associated with the shuttle. Let's talk about that for a moment before we get to the sort of astrophysicist kind of vision of where we go next. Dr. Neil deGrasse Tyson is my guest, astrophysicist and director of the Hayden Planetarium at the American Museum of Natural History right here in New York. You know, we learned a lot about what it takes to work in space during this shuttle program. And what we learned was it's a dangerous place and it's a boring place.
Well, it's only boring if you're not creative enough to think of what to do. The universe is vast. You know, that's like if you're not bored on Earth but you're bored in space, something's wrong.
Right.
The universe is
right. Huge. Exactly.
And dynamic and interesting, and stuff is going on. Stuff is blowing up. There are asteroids headed towards you. There are planets undergoing runaway greenhouse effect. I mean, there's no end of things to study. And in fact, NASA has a vibrant science portfolio that is primarily driven by space probes and orbiting telescopes. But in that portfolio, by the way, there's the follow-on telescope to the Hubble. The Hubble is, of course, the beloved telescope that entire generation of Americans came of age looking at its images drawn from the universe writ large on your screensaver, bringing the universe into your backyard. This next generation telescope, it's called the JWST, James Webb Space Telescope, is actually on the chopping block now in Congress. Because the country says they're saying, well, we have fiscal problems. Maybe we can't afford it. Well, we have more than a $3 trillion budget. And so it's not that we can't afford it. It's that you choose to not spend your money there. And every time a little bit of our science portfolio gets clipped or our urge to explore gets clipped, it kind of eats away, I think, at what it is to be human and what it is to have the natural urges to go beyond the cave if I may. And if we don't do it, other countries will, and we'll watch America fade as this unfolds.
Dr. Neil deGrasse Tyson, astrophysicist and director of the Hayden Planetarium at the American Museum of Natural History. We spoke with former NASA astronaut Richard Hebe earlier, Neil. And he actually sounded relatively optimistic, considering. I mean, his view was that he thought we would already be to Mars at this point. And you have to wonder if perhaps the space shuttle program, with all its utility, kept us from pursuing other avenues.
Well, that's one way to look at it. I was perfectly happy with the space shuttle. My big problem was, why isn't NASA simultaneously building another kind of ship to go beyond low Earth orbit? I once tweeted this, and it got there was a heavy response to it, because people didn't know how these distances scale. If you take Earth and shrink it to the size of a schoolroom globe, on that scale, Mars is a mile away. The moon is 30 feet away. And the space shuttle space station is 3/8 of an inch above its surface. And when you put it in that context, you realize that the shuttle program was not actually extending a space frontier. It was extending an engineering frontier, for sure. The International Space Station is the size of a football field, and it's an extraordinary achievement, not only of engineering but of construction, zero G construction. It demonstrates what we're capable of if we need to do that anywhere else in the solar system.
Well, what's it going to take culturally, do you think? And maybe international cooperation is the answer here, to get beyond the engineering threshold and to create a scientific installation on the moon or on Mars. And what would that look like before we go?
Yeah, that's an excellent question, and I think the country needs to understand that when you have ambitions such as that are fulfilled and funded, that its effect on a nation isn't simply the pretty picture or anything else that you can just point to. It creates an attitude towards how you might embrace science, engineering, technology, and, of course, mathematics that goes with it. And that attitude can transform your economy, it transforms your culture, it reengages people and promotes the urge that we all took for granted in the 1960s and 70s, the urge to dream about what tomorrow might bring.
Well, you know, let's both be together at that party on Mars in our lifetimes, you think?
Maybe, but the motivation, I'm skeptical. You know, the only way that'll happen is if China declares we want to build military bases on Mars. Then we'll be on Mars in 12 months. These are the kinds of things that America reacts to nimbly and swiftly. But the notion of exploration, unless somebody can make the connection to the health of our economy, I worry, which is a very easy connection to make, I worry that the Congress and maybe even the American people won't have the foresight to sustain this kind of adventure.
Well, as the space shuttle lands for the last time, Dr. Neil deGrasse Tyson, our guest, urges the entire world, and particularly Americans, to think beyond 3/8 of an inch. Is that a fair statement?
That's perfect.
All right. Dr. Neil deGrasse Tyson, thanks so much. Astrophysicist, director of the Hayden Planetarium at the American Museum of Natural History right here in New York, host of Star Talk Radio. Thanks so much. See you on Mars, Neil.
Great to be back with you.
Is the top story today the landing of Space Shuttle Atlantis, and with it, the ending of America's space shuttle program.
Main gear touchdown. Hurley now deploying the drag chute. Nose gear touchdown. Having fired the imagination of a generation, a ship like no other, its place in history secured, the space shuttle pulls into port for the last time. Its voyage at an end.
What's the legacy of American space travel for you, and what's our next step? Give us your take at 877-8-MY-TAKE or post to our site, thetakeaway.org. I'm Celeste Headlee.
I'm John Hockenberry. See you on Mars. This is The Takeaway.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.